Good evening. Thank you so much for coming and not just being here, but engaging and worshipping. It's such an encouragement when you're in the band and playing and leading things and seeing people really worshipping and being drawn into that. And slightly distracting when you're seeing lots of actions going on. It was hard enough playing some of those Sunday school ones. And then all the more distracting when suddenly you were seeing etc. done enthusiastically in front of you, but another sign of joining in, whatever it may be. And for those who found that section difficult, get over it. Thank you, Gillian, for putting this together and for bringing us into that theme of thinking of our Heavenly Father. Of course, Father's Day, a great day to be contemplating on that theme together, our Father in heaven, who we're taught by Jesus to pray to, our Father in heaven. Did anyone get God a Father's Day present today? Probably we didn't, did we? Apparently, on your thing about Father's Day and Mother's Day, apparently Father's Day still grosses way under the level that's spent on Mother's Day, apparently. So just putting that out there. But we get chocolate in church, so that's our little way of attempting to make up for it. But perhaps something of our worship this evening is something of what we can offer to our Heavenly Father together. Of course, most of us may well have been thinking about our dads today, might have got them a present. Maybe perhaps it's been a positive day, a good day, a fun day. Perhaps for some, almost certainly a difficult day in places whose parents have sadly died, or recognising at times where our parents, our dads, may have not been all that they should have been. As followers of Jesus, of course, we recognise, we realise that we are more than simply the children of earthly parents. That for us, we are children of God. I spoke about this a little bit before, but I think it's still an important and a powerful picture for us to come back to, so I don't really apologise for coming back to it again. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8, from verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The only way, of course, to become a child of someone, apart from by natural means, is by adoption. Just as it says in there that we have been adopted to be children of God. Someone who is heavily involved in the world of fostering and encouraging Christians to get involved in fostering and adoption shared a story with me recently. It was about his own involvement in fostering children. And he said he'd had this this one child, a placement with him for quite a while. It'd been, I think, about a year or so. And he'd finally gone through the process of being adopted and going into a new home. And for those who don't know, the process of that stage from moving from foster care into adoption is a very intense one. A very intense process of introductions, usually over a week or two, where gradually the adopted parents spend more and more time with the child and with the foster family and then on their own, until eventually, finally, the child, after a week or two, is handed over to their adoptive family. And he described the journey then of this, the last point where he was taking this boy, he was about seven, and he was taking him, and it would be the last time he'd drive from their house to the house where he would be adopted to his new family. And it was quite a quiet journey. The boy was sat in the back of the car. And after a little while, he started to ask a few questions, and he said, "They're good people, aren't they, these people I'm going to?" And he said, "Yes, they're good people. Do you think it would be okay if I call them Mum and Dad?" "Yes, I think it would be okay if you call them Mum and Dad." Because they'd chosen to adopt him. They'd chosen to welcome him into their family and to call him their own. And he could call them Mum and dad. And there's something of that, on that human level, what we understand of that amazingness of that boy being able to call those people mum and dad, of actually what God here describes that he's done with us. That we have become children of God, and so we can even call him Abba, Daddy. It's okay, you can call me Dad, says our Heavenly Father. We've been adopted, which means we've been chosen. Chosen by God to be his children. It means we come to a loving, a good Heavenly Father who offers us an intimate enough relationship that we can call him Dad. And perhaps sometimes we forget that. Perhaps sometimes we just simply feel that we're not good enough. I don't know how your morning began this morning, but my morning began somewhere around 7 o'clock when two children burst into our bedroom. Dad! And it had been a long day yesterday. And it had been a reasonably warm night last night, if you were in this country and you don't have air conditioning. And so I hadn't slept incredibly well. And so my first words as the children burst into my room were, "No!" Which is the usual reaction to being woken up too early when you want to lie in just a little bit longer. And then I went, "Oh, they have armfuls of things. They've remembered it's Father's Day, even if I haven't." Now's the time to be a good father. Sometimes perhaps we just don't feel like we're good enough. And yet God does something quite remarkable. And he's willing to accept us and choose us and adopt us as we are. Wayne could tell you very well the story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. In fact, if you ask him nicely, he might even wrap it for you later. But Zacchaeus, this little tax collector who wants to see Jesus, who wants to get near to him but can't, resorts to climbing up a tree. And yet this bizarre, remarkable thing happens, that Jesus picks out him and comes to him and says, "Come down the tree, I'm coming to your house." Zacchaeus, this tax collector, who would be known for being a sinner, for being dishonest. If you're a tax collector, you're dishonest. That's the way it goes. And he admits it later on. He admits he's been dishonest, that he's cheated people. He would be regarded as a traitor. He's helping the Romans. He's not a proper follower of God. And yet Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house." And when people question it and quibble it and say, "What is it? How will you mix with someone like this?" He says, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call those who think they're good enough. I didn't come to call the people who've got it all sorted. I came to call sinners. People who knew they'd messed up. People who knew they weren't whole and complete. People who knew they still had some way to go." He comes and he meets Zacchaeus just as he is. But of course Zacchaeus doesn't stay that way. He meets with Jesus and he's changed. And he goes and he gives his money away. He gives back to those who he's cheated. Even in Romans 8, this chapter about being adopted as children of God, we see it talks about that we share in Jesus' sufferings, that we're people who are led by the Spirit. We come as we are, just as we are. And God chooses and adopts us in his love and sends us out to live as his children, led by his Spirit. So let's offer him our gift today of our worship this evening. But let's offer him much more than that. As we live as his children day by day, led by his Spirit.
Thank you, Andy. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" without one plea.
And it says at the end, Lamb of God, I come, I come. Let's come before God now with our hearts and our minds and stand together in song.